you found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Now, broadcasting
from the City of Angels,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's right. It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show and to call and talk to us live. It's 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. My guest all this hour is a very talented psychic medium making her debut on the Sheena Metal Experience. I first saw her on one of my favorite paranormal shows. That's Animal Planet's The Haunted. And she has done multiple episodes of that show. She also has her own radio show and many other cool, exciting things happening. Please welcome to the show for the first time here on the Sheena Metal Experience, psychic medium Lori Moore. Lori, it's so great to have you here. Thanks so much for being with me.
Well, thank you, Sheena. Thank you for having me on.
I'm really excited. I'm so excited to have you. I love The Haunted. I think it's one of the best and one of the smartest and creepiest paranormal shows out there.
I have to tell you that I completely agree. You see a lot of shows, paranormal shows on television, but the evidence on these shows is very, very authentic. Very authentic, which I think makes it even just a little bit more creepy.
Yeah, I like the shows. You know, I mean, I know all the techies like the shows where you sit and watch people investigate for 40 minutes, but I like the shows where you get the real people's firsthand accounts. I grew up in a haunted house, and I like to hear it from the actual people and then see a little bit of the investigation, but mostly I like the interviews and the people telling the accounts of what happened to them.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's definitely a good story. I think what it does, too, is it helps people who might be afraid to have a paranormal investigation at their house see that there are other people out there that are just like them.
Yeah.
That are,
yeah,
you know, suffering just like they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really brings such a human experience to television.
Even with your gifts, are you kind of shocked? I mean, last night I was watching I watched two episodes of Paranormal State, and then I watched The Haunted. And I thought, you know, there are a lot of people, I mean, in the world, but, you know, in our own country, you know, living in horror. They don't even feel safe at home. There's a lot of stuff in a lot of people's houses. And when you think about it, it's kind of amazing how many haunted houses there really are.
You know what? I believe that every house is haunted because every person has a spirit or spirits that are with them. And sometimes, you know, you have those coincidences, things that happen in your house, you know, a light bulb will pop or the TV will turn off by itself. And I'm sure everyone has heard footsteps in their home. And all of those little experiences, you know, really make everyone should be aware that there's something going on around them. It's bigger than just us. It's bigger than just what's going on in television. Everybody has the experience. Everyone does.
Right. I agree. But everybody doesn't have that kind of active, dark, creepy haunting like you see on television.
Right.
Because that's what the house I grew up in was like. I mean, literally, like, if you walked in the kitchen, a can of peas could fly out and hit you in the head.
Oh, wow.
And you know, people are, I mean, I think a lot of people have, you know, what they call a friendly ghost, something, you know, you know, somebody moved the pillow or I could have swore I put that there and ha ha ha, it's over here. Or, you know, a little friendly something or other, you know, little friendly footsteps scurrying around. And I do, too, believe that there are spirits everywhere. I mean, as I sit here in the studio, there are probably spirits in the studio. But the amount of, like, creepiness to the point where people are scared to sleep in their own homes.
Yeah.
That really amazes me how much of that there is.
There is. There's a lot of it. Now, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll turn it back to you. Was the house that you lived in was haunted, was it an older home?
No. No, it was we were the second owners, and the first owners had only lived there 4 years, and then we were the second owners. But it was later found out that it was on an Indian burial ground. And I know that's so cliche. But, you know, yeah. It's so cliche to say, oh, my house is on an Indian burial ground. But it backed up against a wildlife preserve. And for years, there had been a battle between the developers and the conservationists about what they were going to do with this preserve. And somebody was fishing in the preserve at one point and found an 8,000-year-old burial bowl. And the conservationists used that in the trial as an excuse to not have the land developed, that it was sacred Indian ground. Mm-hmm. And it was also, it wasn't just that house because, you know, you would notice that everybody in the neighborhood kept their lights on all night long. So it was definitely the neighborhood.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it usually happens that there's always a correlation between houses that are super haunted and houses that just have like kind of some stuff going on in it.
Right.
And just like, you know, in your home, like you were on a burial ground, like that is just, you know, that's a lightning bolt for it.
Right.
Or people who live in older homes, like usually if a home is built in, you know, I'm out in Pennsylvania. So for us, if it's built in the 1700s or the 1800s,
right.
Those kind of homes, they seem to always have something, you know, not just paranormal, but almost a little bit on the dark side going on.
Yeah. My mom grew up in a house in upstate New York that was pre-revolutionary. And she used to always say that, you know, it wasn't a night unless something was walking or something was creaking. But I think this house even was scary compared to what she normally had grown up in. And my mom is super psychic. And I think that has a lot to do, too, when somebody's around that can pick up the energy more, everybody kind of comes out of the closet and says hello.
Yes, and it was like that for me when I was growing up, being that I was the one in the house who was super psychic. You know, our home was maybe about 50 years old when I was born and, you know, living in the house. Of course, it's a little bit older than that now, but, you know, there were, I won't tell my age, but, you know, I knew that there were things in the basement, there were energies in the basement, and I knew that things were, like, coming out of the closet. You know, people who needed help, relatives of mine, and you're right, it just so happened that when you have someone who's open to this, who's really open and connected to the other side, the activity really heightens.
Yes. And, you know, during that time period we were in that house was kind of when my mom was sort of coming out as a psychic because, you know, she's Depression era where you didn't talk about it. And it was something just always had and that she just kind of, you know, laughed off as, oh, my God, it's that weird thing that I can do. And then when it got to be more into the 70s, then she started taking classes and learning about what was going on with her. And I think a lot of her, I mean, remember I tell this story in the air all the time. She took a spoon bending class and the first night they sent her home and told her she shouldn't come back. Cause she was scaring the students. I mean, her spoon looked like it had been through the apocalypse. And so I think that her gifts were really kind of spiking. And I think that was bringing everything out of the walls, too. But it was just a nasty piece of ground. I mean, the amount of stuff that went on in that house. But it's no different than what you see on The Haunted. I mean, it's interesting how when you see a lot of hauntings, you realize how very similar they are. And you must notice that being in the houses yourself, that there's only so many things they do. They scratch on the walls. They walk on the roof. You know, they throw things, they make noises. I mean, there's only so many, it's all the same kind of stuff when you put it together.
Well, when you think about it, you know, what is a ghost? A ghost is just a human who hasn't crossed over.
Right.
And, you know, a human could only do so much. There's only so many things that they could do, you know, turn on and off the lights. It's just, you know, it's just your energy is in a different form.
So when you were young, how did you know what you had? I mean, are you from a family of people that all have it, or?
Well, you know, I didn't find out until, I would even say maybe about 6 years ago, that this is something that's genetic, that there have been many people in my family who have this ability, or have an ability similar to it. Like your mom, when I grew up, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic, and it really was unheard of. It wasn't something you spoke of. You know, if something like this was going on, you were probably possessed. So I had all of these experiences, and I never really knew, you know, what was going on. I mean, it really made for a challenge growing up. There was no one I could discuss it with. There, you know, my parents just didn't know. I would see somebody walking in the hallway, and my parents wouldn't see them there. I would have a dream that somebody would die, and of course everybody says, oh, it's just a coincidence. You know, and it wasn't until I actually moved away from my family. I moved about an hour south of where I was raised, and it seemed like everyone, all of my new friends, were spiritual. And they did, you know, they used a Ouija board, or they used a pendulum, or they were into Reiki. You know, they were just into something, you know, tarot cards. And it was through trial and error that I realized, you know, I have a gift that's really a little bit different than everybody else's. And that was communicating with the dead.
Right, right. So when you were a kid, yeah. Did you think they were imaginary friends like so many psychics do? Or did you know, did you realize that you were talking to things that were not three-dimensionally on the earth anymore?
Yes, I did realize that it was something different, you know, three-dimensional, that these beings were not on the earth. I mean, I can even go as far as telling you that, you know, if you believe in fairies, I mean, I've even had fairies appear to me that
awesome.
Would speak to me and watch over me. Yeah, it was just, you know, looking back at it, it was such a phenomenal experience.
You know, you never
knew that the...
You never have to ask an Irishman if she believes in fairies. I'm pretty much in there, so. Right.
Yeah, it was really, you know, I was so blessed for that. And even now, they surround my house, so I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate. You know, I can't even imagine how people don't live this way, like without that sixth sense. I mean, I think it must be pretty boring.
Now, did you grow up in an Irish house?
No, I'm Sicilian.
Okay.
Italian, both sides.
You see, growing up in, because you said Roman Catholic, so those were my two guesses. You,
I know, you got to be one or the other, right?
You, you know, growing up Irish, it's very much part of your culture, that my mama always says that every Irishman has one foot in the fairy world. So all
right.
of that stuff and all of the earth spirits is very much how you're culturalized, that it all exists. And, you know, and God and everything together and everything kind of harmoniously. But at the same time, it doesn't prepare you for living in a nasty haunted house. I mean, it's kind of two
right.
separate things. You know, one, I consider fairies and earth spirits almost more like spirituality than I do like, you know, something that just has a screwed up problem and won't leave my house.
Right. Yes, I agree with that.
No.
You know, and when we were growing up, I always joke, like, I have cousins and they lived in a double home. Okay, and the grandparents lived on one side and they lived on the other.
Sure.
Well, growing up as an Italian family, we would get together every Sunday evening. And, you know, it was like a weekly thing. Sunday nights, you go up to their house. And, you know, the men would play cards and the women would get desserts ready. And all of the kids, we would be on the other side of the house. And it was funny. Like, we weren't allowed to drink. We weren't allowed to smoke. We weren't allowed to, you know, talk to boys. But here we were with the Ouija board.
Right.
You know, me and my cousins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did it as a kid, too.
With, you know, the paranormal, with, the, you know, whatever was on the other side, talking to, you know, having candles blow out, having the telephone ring, just really frightening things happening to us. And we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Yeah, and I did it, too. We had the Ouija board. I think when I was a kid, my mom thought, oh, look, it's a fun spiritual thing. I don't think anybody really understood. And I remember even in The House from Hell, which I either call that or The Haunted Mansion, I remember my mom took a class about communicating with ghosts. And the teacher told her, you know, get a little tape recorder from Radio Shack and put it on record and ask for ghosts to talk to you in the night. And she put it by her nightstand and did that. And that was when, like, the whole Cirque du Soleil of evil came. And I think it was because she asked them all to show up. And, you know, it always reminds me of that scene from Poltergeist where they play back the camera and they're all walking down the spiral staircase. I mean, you know, seriously, that was when they all came out. And things had happened before that, weird things like doors slamming and closet doors rolling back and forth. But it all really happened when she asked them to come and talk to her. So I do think that we didn't realize how many portholes we were opening as kids, and people were naive and didn't know.
Yes, I know now when the kids in the neighborhood, if they'll, you know, they'll talk to me secretly and say, we were doing the Ouija board. I'm like, oh, no, it's a bad thing. You know, they don't realize actually what they're doing.
Yeah.
And like you said, like what portals they're opening. You know, it's everyone looks at it as a game, but really, you know, it should be marketed much differently.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and we just didn't know. I mean, people used to hitchhike in the 70s. You know, you put your thumb out and get in a car with somebody. And it's kind of the same thing as using the Ouija board. I mean, you have no idea what you really have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that that's...
Yeah, you really don't.
It was weird because a couple of nights ago, I was watching some show, and I don't remember which one, but I TiVo them all because I'm a junkie. And they were talking about weird voices coming through the vents and the, you know, the air conditioning vents and heating vents in the house. And I remembered that when we first went to that house, that I used to hear my mother's voice through that vent saying things like, I'm really worried about her. And I don't know. I'm just worried that she has problems. And my mom and I are super tight. And I would think, why is she talking to my dad about this weird stuff? Why does it? And I would go downstairs and ask her. And she'd say, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, I heard you through the vent. Well, the fact that that was the other end of the house, and there's no way that you could hear somebody through that, and it was real close, like she was, her lips were on the other side of the vent. And just last night, I realized that that was some kind of spirit hooey.
Well, you know what, Sheena? The same experience happened to me. I could listen to them. We had like water pipes. The water would go through to heat the house,
right?
And when they would click, I would know that they were in the room with me.
Oh, wow.
And that's how, that's how I could tell who was there with me, by the clicking noise that they made. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you see them, do you really see them with your eyes, Lori, or do you just see them in your mind's eye?
You know, I see them in my mind's eye. It's more of a third eye imagination. I've had a phenomenal imagination, even since I was very small. And if someone starts describing something to me, I could pick up on it immediately. So with me, you know, if someone, I have, now granted, I have seen apparitions, I have seen, ghosts, and I have seen spirits. But when I'm really doing either a reading or an investigation, it's really more playing out within my head rather than physically seeing the being there.
Right. Okay. Because I know everybody sees things differently. Every psychic tunes in a little differently.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you hear them, do you hear them with your ears, or is that the same thing that you hear them in your mind's eye, or a little bit of both?
Well, no, a little bit of both. Right now, there's something going on with the universe, and I'm not really sure what it is. And maybe because we just had, 10-10 and 11-11, I found this with a lot of my spiritual friends. We are physically hearing people or conversations in our house. Like you would hear what you thought was your mom talking through the radiation system in your house. Well, what we're doing now is, like, for example, I think my children leave the TV on in a room, and I go in the room and nobody's there.
Right.
So right now I'm at the point where I'm physically hearing things.
Right.
But when I'm doing a session, for the most part, I hear everything in my head. And I think, because I don't really hear of other people when I'm doing a session, like they're not hearing it either. So why wouldn't they hear it if I'm hearing it?
Right. Yeah, I think that sometimes with the spirits, they let you hear it with your actual ears because they want you to hear something. And I think sometimes it's to put you a little bit on edge. Because honestly, if they really had something to say, they could just say it. But I think sometimes that the purpose is to creep you out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Now, when, how can I put this? When a person is newly deceased, okay, let's say for the first 3 weeks to maybe, or first 3 days to a month after someone dies,
right,
I could hear them in their own voice. Okay, I hear them with their own tone. I would hear you just like you were talking to me.
Right.
With your own inflection. If someone had a drawl, I'd be able to hear that. If someone had an accent or a dialect from a certain area, I would be able to pick up on that. After that month, then I start hearing them in my own voice. I don't really, it's almost like I hear my, it's like talking to myself.
Right. Because probably
I hear them in my own voice.
Because probably at that point they no longer have a voice that we can understand and you're interpreting it through.
Right. They're on a different frequency.
Wow. And is it true that spirit voices, sometimes when you hear them, they're sometimes very slowed down and sometimes they're very sped up? Like once you pass, your sense of timing and meter in your speech kind of disappears.
Yes, that is very true. I have found that newly deceased people are much, much more difficult to connect with than people who have been deceased for 200 years. It's actually easier to talk to someone who has been dead a long time.
Wow. Wow, I've never heard that. It's interesting. And so they pick up, they kind of learn spirit speak.
Yes, and I think it really has to do with the evolving of the spirit on the other side. You know, it's just like your experience as a human. You know, the older you get, the wiser you get. So, you know, when you are a newly deceased person or soul or spirit and you cross over, you just don't have the means to communicate with, you know, with us yet. You do it. That's why usually when a person dies, mostly what you get are physical activities from a newbie, than the people who are, you know, deceased a long time. With those people, they seem to have a more sophisticated way of connecting with us.
Right. Right. Interesting. Now, is it just as easy to connect to somebody who has passed than somebody who is here, or is it easier one way or another?
You know, for me, it doesn't really make a difference. And I'm sure every medium has their own experience, you know, or their own way of communicating. But for me, it doesn't make a difference if the soul has crossed over or if the soul is still earthbound. I don't have any difficulty communicating with them either way.
Why do you think that so many people want to communicate with their relatives who have passed? It's funny because, you know, most of the psychics that I have on the show, I have on at some point because of usually television shows, and we usually wind up talking about ghosts. But I know a lot of your work is probably dealing with living people who want to talk to loved ones that have passed. And it seems like whenever you mention a psychic or a psychic medium to the living, the first thing they always want to know is, can I talk to somebody who passed? People are really kind of, I don't want to use the word obsessed, but you know, they really, I don't think people, when we're alive, that we get over our dead loved ones as well as we should, because we still want to ask them questions all the time.
Well, and also, you know, when we were taught through religion, okay, now, not through spirituality, but through religion, that when someone dies, they are with a god or in a better place. Okay, so basically, we know that that person's okay, all right? My aunt passed away. You know, we were raised Catholic. They believe in Jesus. Okay, my aunt's with Jesus. She's in a better place. But that doesn't make it any easier for me. I'm the one who has to go through, you know, the holidays without her. I'm
right.
The one who, every time I take up the phone, she's not there. Okay, I'm the one who's missing her. She's the one who's in the better place.
Right.
So I think that sometimes religion leaves us hanging. There's no consolation for those of us who are left behind. And that's why when someone finds a medium, somebody who could communicate with a loved one on the other side, it's almost like giving them that one more day, that one more hour, that one more minute. Like, what would you have said that you didn't say?
And do you find
do you make the peace at the end?
Do you find that most of your clients just want to ask about, just want that one more session and then they're done with that person? They don't want to keep coming back and asking again and again and again.
It really depends on the individual. I have found that parents who have lost children would talk to me every day if they could.
Wow. Yeah, I get
because,
that. Yeah, I get
it. It's your child.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, everyone's situation is different. Sometimes people need to talk to someone on the other side to make peace. If it was an abusive parent, an abusive spouse, if someone took their own life, everybody wants to know why. Why did they do that? Why couldn't I have helped them? And a lot of times a session or a reading with a medium could really bring you those answers that you didn't have.
Right.
It really is a truly healing. It's a healing experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it healing for you as well? I mean, does it make you feel good to bring people together, or is it healing and at the same time tiring? Because I would think that using that third eye and using that part of your brain all the time, I mean, it's emotionally and spiritually exhausting.
Well, when I'm doing, I kind of categorize like my readings. If I do a reading and it's mostly like a psychic reading, and people want to know about like, am I going to have a boyfriend kind of thing?
Right. Am I going to get rich?
Yeah, like those readings exhaust me, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm helping a family and they really need to, to heal from someone's death, you know, if they're having difficulty going through the grieving process, that for me is almost like, it's like a high. I don't get exhausted from that. It's truly my passion. It is the reason why I believe that, you know, I am here, I am earthbound, because I am supposed to be helping people, with grief and counseling and connecting with other people. So, no, it doesn't become exhausting. And I think, too, that the way my abilities are, I think the people on the other side make it easy for me. They communicate with me. Like, we have such a good rapport with one another that it doesn't become tiring.
Right. Now, what
I
about,
can do it forever.
What about being in a house, like when you're doing an episode of The Haunted or something, or doing something with a paranormal group where you're investigating? Is that exhausting, or does it depend on the spirits?
It really depends on the spirits. Some spirits, when you go into a home that is being haunted, they don't want to be found. So I kind of have to pull them out. Then you have spirits that, you know, really want to interact with you. And some do it in a negative way, and some do it in a positive way. Every investigation is different. I do find that I am more tired after a paranormal investigation than I am if I just do a reading. I think because as a medium, too, I feel the responsibility to keep my team protected, and I know what the spirits are doing. So I look at it as, you know, I have to watch out for them. I have to have their back so that nobody gets hurt during this whole process.
Right, because when you go in and you're the psychic or the medium on a paranormal investigation, it kind of becomes your job to give everybody the lay of the land. I mean, you're sort of like the American Indian guide in pioneer days. I mean, you're the one that, or the Sherpa that takes everybody up to Mount Everest. I mean, you're the one that everybody expects to tell them, okay, this room is creepy and something is not right over here. And so you have to really work to go in kind of like the scout and kind of give everybody the spiritual map.
Yeah, I'm like the Marines.
Right.
I go in first.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, send the psychic in. And that's hard sometimes, right, emotionally and spiritually, because you're also the most sensitive one. So you're the one that's really going to see everything and sometimes feel everything that those spirits have felt.
Yes. And a lot of times, too, from talking with the spirit, I will tell the investigators, you know, because they always say, what could we ask them? How could we, you know, pull them out, too? How could we get some response from them so we could help the family and get, you know, evidence? And I'll say to them, you know, you really can't aggravate this spirit, or be careful how you tread with this one. I wouldn't mention this, but I would mention that, because you don't want to get them angry.
Right.
And, you know, what is, and again, I keep saying, like, what is a spirit? A spirit is just a human who has not crossed over.
How did you get into...
You really wouldn't...
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, you know, you don't like to make people mad. You don't like confrontation. So why would you do it with the spirit?
No, and the same thing. Why would you ask them the same stupid questions over and over again when you know if you ask a person to do that over and over again, they would eventually just start ignoring you?
Right.
Yeah, we go into some of these
frustrated.
We go into some of these locations, like Civil War locations, where thousands of people have been in there investigating, and ask the same things. How did you die? Are you scared?
Is anybody here?
Exactly. Can you scratch my face? Can you tap on the wall?
I
mean, it's like, there should be a book called like 10 Dumb Questions That Paranormal Investigators Should Never Ask Again. And I had a friend who's a medium in London, in England, tell me that God, over there where the houses are, 1,000 years old, imagine how tired they are of those same questions.
I know. Yes. Now, I have, with the investigations that I have done with the different paranormal groups, it has seemed that, I don't go on every investigation. I only go on certain investigations. I do a lot of investigations from my house. I do long-distance readings.
Right.
So if I can't make an investigation beforehand, I'll talk to the lead investigator and tell that person, what's going on in the home, this is what you have to look out for, and they do it, which is, really good. But I have found that when I do go on location, when I am in a house, there is a specific reason for it, because I have rarely found a spirit who has not wanted to cross over.
Really?
The earthbound spirit, they're ready to go. And it just seems, that they know the right way to connect with the right people to get me there to help them to cross.
Now, why do you think some of these locations, like, the 10 haunted places in America, that these things don't cross, because it's just that there's so many of them in there that is as fast as you cross them, more cropping up, you know, like a Waverly Hills Sanitarium or a Queen Mary or Eastern State Penitentiary or, you know, places like that, Gettysburg. It just seems like, gosh, somebody just cross all these poor, miserable kids over in Gettysburg, because it makes me sad to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? And I agree with you, but let's look at this from two different perspectives. One, from an economic point of view, I doubt if the people from Gettysburg would want me down there crossing all their spirits, because they'd be pretty angry.
Probably so.
They'd have no tourism. So there's the one thing. You know, and the other reason is people don't like to cross out of fear. So let's say that there was a soldier in Gettysburg, and maybe he wasn't the best of person. Maybe he cheated on his wife, and he did, you know, own slaves and all of this stuff, and he dies. Now, if you were raised to be a God-fearing person, do you really want to cross over?
Right.
You're afraid of the retribution. You're afraid of what's going to happen to you. So you always have souls that are going to be stuck.
Yeah, you know,
waiting to make peace.
And I understand that, because when I was a kid, one of my older relatives decided he wanted to pass in the house. And first of all, I think you should never pass in your house. What a terrible thing to put your family through.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, never.
And at one point, while he was in a quasi-coma, you know, maybe a few days before he passed, we heard all this talking. And he was having a fight with somebody. My mom always says he was wrestling with St. Peter. And he was, you know, like somebody was giving him a checklist, and he was saying things like, no, I never did that. That's a rotten lie, and denying a bunch of stuff. And he was, you know, in quite turmoil, yelling at the top of his lungs for somebody who was three quarters dead. And, you know, you kind of have to wonder sometimes about some of these murderers, and, you know, if they're scared to death to go. It's all well and good to be bad and evil here, but I think everybody in the back of their mind fears that someday they're going to be judged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always say make your peace now. Definitely do it, because when that time comes, you know, at the end of a person's life, you never hear them say, you know, I wish I made more money. You know, I wish I went more places. It all has to do with, you know, making peace and being with your loved ones and being loved. And when you don't have that fear of crossing over, that's number one reason why people do not cross.
Right. Well, and is that one of the reasons, Lori, that then they don't want you to find them in the house, because spirits like that are scared that someone's going to force them to cross over, so they're hiding in a nook and cranny somewhere?
Yes, they're afraid of they're being judged. They're afraid you're going to judge them. You know, and maybe that's the reason why now so many paranormal shows are on television, and we discuss it so much. You know, it's so open to the public right now, because I think that, you know, we live in a very... For as judgmental as we are, we really aren't when it comes to certain things. Our society is really lax when it comes to, you know, adultery. You know, things that would have happened, you know, 50 years ago that people would have, like, been very hushed about. Now it's almost like every day it happens. Oh,
right.
So-and-so cheated on so-and-so. Oh, yeah, what, you know, like, you almost, like, blow it off. So that, I think, has really helped, because, you know, there's no judgment. You go into a home. You understand what the person is, you know, why they're stuck, and then, you know, you make peace with them, and they realize that it's okay. Now, granted, there are, you know, some sins that I find unforgivable. I have run into, I did an investigation with Lights Out Paranormal. They're the paranormal team that I did one of the haunted shows with.
Yes.
And we ran into a child molester into one of the homes. And that was just it. Like, that put the paranormal team, that put all of us on, like, a high note. We were crossing this guy whether or not he wanted to go. You know?
Right.
It was like...
tricking him into the light. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was going to the light whether or not he wanted to go to the light. He was going. So, you know, there's certain sins that are unforgivable, but for the most part, once you talk to a spirit, you could get them to go.
Well, and you know, a personality like that could still harm a child emotionally, and still be a predator.
You know, and in this home, it was there was a very young little girl in the house that the owner had, And he, you know, and the child would stay with him, you know, so many days a week, and then with the mom so many days a week. But the child wouldn't stay in one room in the house. And I understood why, because this was the little girl who he was, you know, the father was molesting. This was the room that they were in. So he was, you know, every time he would come into the room, the child would scream.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny because how things will stay in a room. When I was lived in the Haunted Mansion, my room was very active. And it was that was where the closet doors were originally slamming a couple of days after we moved in. And my mom had just thought it was, you know, the houses are so close in a tract area. She thought it was like the neighbor was slamming. And then years later, finally asked the neighbors about it. And the mom said, oh, he's been in college for 2 years. So clearly it was not his doors. But at one point she was just starting to go to psychics and just, you know, as I said, kind of starting to get into that. And she went to a very, very old lady who had been highly recommended to her. She drove a long way to go see her. And the woman that was describing her spirit guides to her, and she said that she said, you have one guide who he worries about you. There's a room on the second floor he doesn't like, and he won't go in there, and he recommends you not go either. And that was kind of when my mom came back to me, because that was right after I had told her that weird stuff was happening in that room. And so, you know, it's interesting sometimes how certain areas, you know, can kind of hold something that's very dark.
Yeah.
And things will stay just in a room, or sometimes just in a corner of a room, or sometimes they're just in the refrigerator, you know, all different kinds of things.
Well, when we did this investigation for the last haunted show, it was the Horror in the Closet. It was the one that premiered on Halloween night.
Right.
That one, there was a little boy. When we did the investigation, the homeowner was explaining to us things that were going on in the home, and there was this closet, and I said, someone is trapped in this closet. And the little boy was mentally challenged, or I should say the young man. He was mentally challenged.
Wow.
And it was familiar for him to be in that area, in that room, in that vicinity. So you're right. That's where the majority of the activity was going on.
Yeah, and isn't that strange?
Because of the familiarity, yeah.
How they'll stay in their same little spot. And now some are different. Some I'm sure you can feel all over the house. They run all over the house.
Right.
But some lurk just in a strange area and stay there.
Yeah.
It really is quite fascinating. It's do you find that they have a lot of the same personality traits as people?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, they're dead people. Yeah, but it doesn't really change once they've crossed over.
Even though they have all these new abilities to do things, they still act the same.
Right. If you were a bad person before you died, here's the thing. If you cross over and go to heaven or the other side, you lose that. You lose that evil or negative energy. However, if you die and your soul does not cross over, you're still an angry person.
Yeah.
You're still a bad person. You still have that negative energy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shame, isn't it? And it's a shame that so much of what we associate ghosts with is the negative ones, because they're the ones, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. They're the ones making all the stink that we associate. There's probably so many spirits just floating around, and they're perfectly mellow, and they're not doing anything to harm anyone.
Well, what about the spirits that want to help us?
Right.
There's so many spirits out there that want to show us the way, that want to show us a better way of living, that want to show us, you know, the ones that hide your keys so you don't get into a car accident, or leave you pennies that let you know that you're around, you know, that they're around, or the ones that, you know, you walk into a room and you smell like a cigar and you're wondering, you know, what was that from? When really it was like an uncle or a grandfather that's just coming by to say hello. Like, those are the ones that kind of get overlooked.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing the good things.
Yeah.
They're not doing the bad things.
Right. And I like that there are shows like Ghostly Encounters that focus on the spirits that help sometimes, or shows like even Celebrity Ghost Stories. Some of the stories are about ghosts that help. Because, you know, we need to think about that too, and not as soon as we hear something in our house, you know, pull out the sage and start beating the wall with a stick.
Right.
Because, you know, calling the priest. And getting the exorcism happening, and it's just, you know, the ghost of some little girl living in your wall who wants a cookie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's more good out there than there is bad. You know, the bad are the ones getting the press. I think that if people focused on the good spirits that were surrounding them, they would find that their life would be less of a challenge. because our dead relatives want to help us. You know, they're on the other side now. They know what's going on. They want, you know, to make this journey for us a little easier. And if we could just pay attention to the signs, things would just go so much more smooth.
That's great advice, and I agree. We're taking a quick break, then we're right back with you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. More with psychic medium Lori Moore right after this.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
Continue to consider the source.
Sheena Metal. Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minarek Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minarek revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minarek, you know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minarek Guitars online at Minarek Guitars, M-I-N-A-R-I-K, guitars.com.
Why do I take comfort and misery? Put on a...
She may be young and beautiful, but life can suck even for her. You've been in love, right? Critically acclaimed singer-songwriter Brittany Elizabeth reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at Brittney Elizabeth.com.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
For God's sakes, do as I say and not as I do.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here. You know, we talk a lot about psychic phenomena on this show, especially being as that, well, you know, I'm a psychic. But let me tell you guys, there's a lot of people out there who claim to be psychic, and they're not. I invite each and every one of you to head over to my personal website, www.danielleagnew-advisor.com. Before seeking spiritual counsel from anyone, make sure you do your homework. Remember, a psychic is only as good as their intention.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Prince is sexy and also 5'2". That alone is a sheer sign of an act of God and that Armageddon is coming. Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit JoeSteeleRocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at JoeSteeleRocks.com.
Hi, this is Tony Sweet from On Air with Tony Sweet. Come join Ann Walker, non-Reverend Kevin Rishu, and myself every Friday on LATalkRadio.com. We are a leading source of the GLBT community by spreading a positive message of love and acceptance. We do this by having guests from Hollywood, Broadway, politics, and some of the leading religious leaders of our time. Plus, we have some of the hottest artists around sharing their inspirational music. Come join us Fridays at 6 p.m. on LATalkRadio.com.
Hi, friend. This is Renee Barnett for Night Vision Radio. In my work in television and film production, we use night vision photography to illuminate what's hidden in the dark. And that's what we try to do at Night Vision Radio. We shine a light on the secret, the strange, and the unusual. On NVR, you'll hear from the experts and the experiencers who'll help us understand and expose these strange and sometimes dark subjects. Please join me right here Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Time for Night Vision Radio. And check us out on nightvisionproductions.com. Real people, real stories, firsthand. Night Vision Radio.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
She was easily 40, maybe 50. Telling people she was 26 years old. And she didn't look 26. You know, she looked like the old lady that Jack Nicholson made out with in The Shining in the bathtub.
Johnny Harmonic.
This is Johnny Harmonic. all love bright, shiny things. Johnny Harmonic, we all love bright, shiny things on iTunes from Golosio Publishing.
I'm glad that you don't know.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio, two members of Merle Haggard's band, have released their first album called A Couple of Strangers.
Yeah, my voodoo woman's calling out to me.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio on iTunes from Golosio Publishing.
So don't bother knocking, come on in, the party's rocking, I wonder if I do.
You've just found the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show and to call and talk to us live, 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. My guest all this hour is an amazing psychic medium. You've seen her on many episodes of Animal Planet's The Haunted, which I think is a fantastic show. And we're talking about everything in the psychic world all this hour. Please welcome back Lori Moore. Lori, it's great to have you here and just let me pick your brain about everything.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. This has been so much fun, Sheena. I have to tell you.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So how did you go from being a kid that you knew had psychic powers and then obviously to being a teenager that had very spiritual people around her? And then how did you make this your life? I mean, how did you move into doing this as much as you do it now?
Well, you know, I actually had a really tough experience that I went through. I had a fiance, and he died of cancer. And during his, you know, process of crossing over and of dying, I had so many different experiences. I had people, you know, I met angels that walked on earth. I had people just give me books about, you know, angel writing. And I was getting messages, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. And I had a friend who gave me a gift certificate to see a medium. And it was the first time I had ever gone. So after he dies, I go and I see this medium. And she tells me, you have the abilities I have. I want you to read me. And I go ahead and I read her. She takes me to her private residence and shows me all of the people who I talked to who were deceased. So, you know, afterwards, like, that kind of got out, and then people started to call me. I have something going on in my house. Could you tell me what's going on? My animal is sick. Could you tell me about my animal? My husband lost a job. Could you tell me what I'm going to do? And then finally somebody said to me, you know, you really have to start charging people for this.
Yeah.
It became overwhelming. You know, it became overwhelming. I mean, I've spent 23 years in the advertising industry, but, you know, it was taking a life of its own. I couldn't control it.
Right.
People were just coming out of the woodwork to get readings from me. And it wasn't even like I was soliciting them. They would just call me and I would say, well, you know, I have to charge you. Okay. And it didn't even matter. You know, people just, they needed the messages. They needed the healing. They needed the closure. And, you know, one thing led to another and, like, here I am.
Don't you think that people, you know, they don't mind because it's a small price to pay for the kind of emotional and spiritual closure that you get? I mean, when you think of all the things in the world that you pay for, it's all because there's a necessity. You pay a fortune for gas because you need your car to go someplace. You pay a fortune to fly because you need to go and do something and it's too far to drive. And I think that it's the same thing. I think that people would rather pay somebody good and actually get what they need than to keep worrying about it, wondering about it. Am I really getting the messages from my loved one? Is that what I'm hearing in my head? You know, there's a lot of confusion and angst that goes with all of that.
Right. And you know what, too? And there's a lot of bad mediums out there.
Oh, yeah.
And those, and they're the ones that are saying, well, you know, for $50 more, I'll let you talk to your other aunt. Or if you pay me $5,000, I'll get rid of this negative energy that's around you.
Yeah.
But that's all baloney. It's just baloney.
Yeah.
So You know, like you said, I'd rather, you know, I'd even myself personally, I'd rather pay for someone who I know is accurate, who I know will give me good messages, and who will, like, bridge from where I am right now to that next phase in my life.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Now, has it helped? Have you had more people coming to you since they saw you on television? Does television help or hurt?
Well, television has really helped me. It has helped with, you know, of course, the national exposure. That has helped. It has helped because it has made it made me more of a household name. It has made being a medium more of a household name. You know, I don't look like a stereotypical medium, sort of.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes
right.
You expect them to look a little,
now,
you know, far out there. And
Lori,
you
are you referring to the
grocery store. Are
you referring to the elderly obese lady with the giant red bun who has the stars and moons glow in the dark moo-moo and a turban?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw me in the grocery store with a whole bunch of other moms, you're not going to say, oh, she's
right.
a medium. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But don't you think that yours is very much the new face of the 21st century medium, where mediums are now all genders and creeds and colors and ages and all different, you know, run the gamut from very conservatively dressed to the moo-moo lady. I mean, it just is kind of how you live your life, and you don't have to, like, look the part anymore.
Right. Yes, I absolutely agree to you. I mean, my philosophy now is I want to be the face of, like, the psychic mom. I want to be the ones, like, because moms get, you know, like, we have no time the way it is. And sometimes in spirituality, you know, people say, like, oh, it's, you know, 11:11, and at 11 o'clock you need to pray for, you know, 11 hours. Well, like, I don't have 11 hours to pray. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't either.
You know, like, really, like, they just ask, like, the most far-out things. And what I want to do is I want to be the face of, like, you know, the younger generation of spirituality. Like, look, you could do it all and still be a good person and still connect with the other side. And you could do that. And you don't have to look like a nut to do it either.
Right, right. And you don't have to be, you know, what my mom kindly refers to is, if Scorpios can be that kind, as metafizzlers, you know, people who are really, like, out there with, you know, every time your toenail cracks, it's because universe has put it in your life for a purpose. You know, where they're not even living their lives anymore. They're just jumping from one metafizzly lily pad to the next. And there's not even any accountability or participation in three-dimensional life at all.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I can't deal with those people, I'll be honest.
And those are often the types, right, that become the psychic junkies that want to see you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and I don't. I'm very careful with those kind of people. You know, the majority of my clients will see me or speak to me over the telephone, because I do a lot of telephone readings. They'll, you know, like 6 months to a year. Sometimes every 2 years. And that's fine, because you know what? My philosophy is you have to live life.
Right.
You know, someone could give you information, someone could help you heal, but you have to live your life. You're the one who's going to help yourself heal. I'm just giving you the tools to do it.
Right, right. I agree. And also, I think a lot of times people go to psychics because maybe they are from a situation where they were raised very Roman Catholic or Orthodox Jewish or whatever, and they just want someone to talk to about things that they're feeling in their shift in spirituality that they can't talk to their own community about.
Yes. That's another thing, too. Yeah. I'm so glad, you know, like your show, you know, my radio show, we're giving people a forum now.
Sure.
We're giving them a voice.
Yeah. And I think that what I like about what I try to do with my, because my show is just an all-round human sideshow, runs the gamut of everything in the world as topics. But I like when I have the spiritual topics on, because it's not just a spiritual show, and it's not just a metaphysical show. It's not just a paranormal show, although I do have a weekly paranormal show you need to come back and visit me on, too. But it's, you know, it's just kind of taking these ideas and mixing them in with real life.
Right.
Which is kind of where they should be. Because, you know, we all still have to pick the dog poop up in the backyard and pay the bills and get our teeth cleaned and all of those. Yeah. You know what I mean? Spirit doesn't tell us that we no longer have to go to the eye doctor. We still have to do all that normal stuff. And you've got to go and buy cereal for your kids and push the cart around the grocery store. You know, and but at the same time, I think that we are, as human beings, hopefully becoming more enlightened in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That was very, very well said. You know, now it's when you're pushing the cart through the grocery store, if you see somebody who looks like they're a little down, like maybe you just smile at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's it. Their spirituality at its finest.
And if they look a little dead, for God's sakes, cross them over.
Yeah, I know.
If you see somebody in the cereal aisle and you can see through them to the Fruit Loops, then maybe have a little convo about with them about maybe they don't want to live the rest of their life in the Quickie Mart and they need to move on. Have you, Lori, ever encountered anything in a house or anywhere that, or even doing a session and going and looking for somebody's relative beyond that's passed into the beyond that has kind of freaked you out? Because you have to be very courageous and steel yourself up and protect yourself spiritually because you're in kind of uncharted territory.
The ones that freak me out are, not necessarily like the evil ones. You know, when you have the ones that are like, you know, the demonic energies or whatever you want to call them, those don't really freak me out. I'm okay with them. The sessions that really freak me out is when I have to deal with a parent who lost a child. Those, I don't like those sessions. The ones that really bother me are if I have to give a family of a soldier who died in a war. That bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the kind of ones that really get to me. But the ones where, you know, like you said, you're going into the uncharted territory. I know the group of spirits I work with. I know what kind of protection I have. And I have no fear of that.
And have
I
you
really don't.
Have you encountered something that you thought was really truly demonic?
Well, no. I would say maybe not yet. But my philosophy on demonic spirits is that it's just a really, really bad person that people have fed into.
Right.
You know, which just makes them more evil, or more demonic.
Or do you think sometimes that demonic energy kind of rides along with somebody who's very bad or very broken?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's almost more than one energy in there.
Yes, there is. I have, let's see, what else have I found through my experience, doing readings and doing investigations. I have found that if someone has an addiction issue, that negative energies are attracted to them. It's easier to latch on to a person who has that kind of, you have to have something very low in your life if you have an addiction.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
You're missing something.
Right.
So yes, definitely negative energies will latch on to a person who's like that.
Because
or
I know
a household that has a lot of abuse in it.
Right. Right. Because, I've encountered that out here a couple of times. And I know that sounds like a joke. Oh, my God, there's evil in Los Angeles. Ha ha.
Yeah.
But, there are certain things about the entertainment business and a certain level of brokenness. That sometimes I have maybe in all the people I've known in my career, and, we're talking about tens of hundreds of thousands, probably a handful that I thought maybe had something a little different riding along in there. Because there was just a certain level of evil that was just not your normal Hollywood evil, but even more evil.
Right. Well, you know what, Sheena? I could tell from people on the television, you see all these famous people and everybody looks beautiful and they have, the perfect makeup and the perfect hair and the perfect outfit, but I could really see who is a beautiful person and who is made to be beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you this story before we go. It's a funny story that I didn't realize until a couple of months here when I had a psychic on the show telling me how she likes to watch the red carpets and she can figure out what's wrong with everybody. When I was a kid, my mom was a big patron of the arts and she loved movies and loved the theater. We would watch, the Academy Awards or the Tonight Show or all of that stuff. And she would watch the red carpet and pick out this one's a drunk. This one's, my mom's depression era. So her equivalent of on drugs was on something. That one's on something. And then later it would come out in the tabloids. And as a kid, it was like our little joke that ha ha ha, mom knew so and so was a drunk. And then 10 years later it came out. So after the psychic said this to me, I called my mom that night after the show and I said, this was before you really knew what you had, and you were like psychically profiling the red carpets. And it was, you know, she could tell which ones were crazy, and then lo and behold, somebody would come out as bipolar. But she really was. I mean, she was,
yeah,
she was profiling people as they walked by on their way to the Academy Awards. So now that you said that you can do that too when you look at people, I think that's hysterical.
It is. It's very funny. You know, I have that fear. You know, someday somebody's going to ask me, so what do you think of so-and-so? And, sometimes I'm a good liar, and sometimes I'm not a good liar.
Yeah. And you know what?
You know, so I'll talk about all the good people. How about that?
You know, from doing this for so long, for 16 years of this, and now especially with this show, because I have, you know, you have to read energy enough to have a conversation with somebody you've never met and make it sound like your best buddies for an hour. I can too. I can now tell when I'm sitting at an event somewhere and somebody walks by me, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really ever want you to be on the show because you're creepy. And you know what I mean? Because you can just feel it coming off people.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Or you know what else you could tell too? You could tell the people who want to be on your show. Do you know, like in the opposite way, like you'll never have them on, but they're the ones who are like feeding off of it. Like they need it.
Right. And when I walk in a house, I can tell if it's haunted, and people say, oh, you must be psychic. And I'm like, no, I'm not a psychic. But when you grow up in a haunted house and you know what it feels like, then, you know, you walk in a house that feels the same way. You just kind of make the same conclusion. I mean, you can tell, you know, I'm not an ice cream maker, but if you blindfolded me and gave me ice cream, I could tell you it's ice cream because I've had ice cream.
Yes.
It's that kind of thing. You know, I can tell when a place feels like where I grew up, I know something's wrong with it.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people, too, don't know what to do with a house that could be haunted, and they don't realize that they could bless the house themselves.
Right.
Like, you control them, they don't control you.
Right.
And, you know, I really think that people should know you could sage your house, you could cleanse your house, you could bless your house. You know, I blessed my house. I put a blessing on all the doors in my house so that whoever enters my house will receive a gift. And that gift would be something that they, you know, they need, whether it be a healing or if it's, a, you know, prosperity or friendship, whatever, love, that they receive that gift when they come to my house. But when they come to my house, they have to leave all of their garbage behind. So when you walk over the threshold, all of that stuff, that garbage is left on the outside. Well, I have relatives that cannot visit my house.
Wow.
Because you can't get through the door without leaving it behind.
Wow. Yeah, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some relatives that you don't really want to own.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I have some like that. I wouldn't ask them to my house whether they could do it or not. I already know. Laura, you're awesome. Will you come back and see me again? I would love that.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
You let me know when, and I'm there.
And where can people find you online?
Well, people could find me online at my website. It's lauriemoore.com. Now, my parents were original when they spelled Laurie. It's LauriMoore.com. I do have a radio show on Sunday evenings. It's on the East Coast, so that would be from 7 p.m. Eastern Time to 9 p.m. It is a call-in radio show. You could listen. It's called Moonlight Messages, but you could also listen on the Internet. And if you go to either my website or my Facebook page, it'll link you right to the radio station site.
Wonderful. Laurie, thank you so much for being here. And everybody, if you missed any of the links on Laurie, just go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com, and I will gladly forward them over to you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio. Quick break, and then we're right back with you with much more radio fun.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Save it for the fan message boards, people.
Do you think we can turn on the city lights for a while?
Brittany Elizabeth has the voice of an angel and the looks of a movie star. She's performed everywhere from Carnegie Hall to the Knitting Factory in Hollywood. This critically acclaimed singer-songwriter reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at BrittneyElizabeth.com.
Passion to create the finest quality instrument available anywhere. That's what Minaret Guitars is all about. With his patented tone chamber engineering, Mark Minaret revolutionized the sound of the guitar and bass. He transformed the ordinary guitar body using designs and shapes that truly make his guitars a playable work of art. With artists like Dave Navarro, Dick Dale, and Gene Simmons all playing a Minaret, You know the tone matches the talent. Visit Minarik Guitars online at Minarik Guitars, M-I-N-A-R-I-K, guitars.com.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Listen to Mother Sheena. Whenever someone gives you money, it makes them just a little less irritating.
Hey, you, the talented musician who any label would want if they knew where to find you, come here. We need to get you some serious label attention. So how is that label going to find you with no money and no hot contacts? I'll tell you how. Music Highway, the free online, in-the-know, independent music resource, where you log on and find free industry contacts, free bookings in great LA clubs, and best yet, free radio play on Music Highway Radio. Just log on music-highway.com. Music Highway, where you pave your own road to success.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Wow, that's crap.
Red Lodge, the new album by award-winning artist Danielle Agnew. Red Lodge, nominated as Best Folk Recording at the 2008 NAMI Awards. Red Lodge, the new album by Danielle Agnew on Maurice the Fish Records. Available online at cdbaby.com and Danielle Agnew, EGNEW.com.
Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit joesteelrocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at joesteelrocks.com.
Hi, this is Tony Sweet from On Air with Tony Sweet. Come join Ann Walker, non-Reverend Kevin Rishu, and myself every Friday on LATalkRadio.com. We are a leading source of the GLBT community by spreading a positive message of love and acceptance. We do this by having guests from Hollywood, Broadway, politics, and some of the leading religious leaders of our time. Plus, we have some of the hottest artists around sharing their inspirational music. Come join us Fridays at 6 p.m. on LATalkRadio.com.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
She was easily 40, maybe 50, telling people she was 26 years old. And she didn't look 26. You know, she looked like the old lady that Jack Nicholson made out with in The Shining in the bathtub.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Secretly, I laugh.
Dance. Or if you pay me $5,000, I'll get rid of this negative energy that's around you.
Yeah.
Like, that's all baloney. It's just baloney.
Yeah.
So